And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is a Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, the Russian army is still stalled trying to take the capital of Ukraine. Back when I was an infantry officer, we were assured the Russian army was so mighty it would roll over anything we could do. We were expected to hold until reinforcements arrived from the States. And now, the Russian army is showing that it's not exactly what we thought it was. He's lost four generals, and he's arrested a couple for not being loyal. So we'll see how it plays out. Don't let anybody tell you the czars are gone forever. We got a czar sitting there right now. And our illustrious leadership is worried about climate change. Well, we're getting ready to go to World War III. March 18th, 77th day of the year. 288 days remain till the year's over with. In the year 37, the Roman Senate annuls Tiberius's will and proclaims Gaius Julius Caesar Augustus Germanicus, also known as Caligula, as emperor. Caligula was a nickname given this young man by the Roman soldiers. It meant little boots. 1068, an earthquake in the Levant and the Arabian Peninsula leads up to 20,000 dead. 1229, Frederick II, Holy Roman Emperor, declares himself King of Jerusalem in the Sixth Crusade. 1241, the first Mongol invasion of Poland took place on this date. The Mongols completely overwhelmed the Polish armies in Krakow in the Battle of Chmielnik, and they plundered the city. 1314, Jacques de Molay, the 23rd and final Grand Master of the Knights Templars, burned at the stake. And what was his crime? He wasn't going to give Philip the Fair the Knights Templars' treasure. 1438, Albert II of Habsburg becomes King of the Romans. 1571, Valletta is made the capital city of Malta. 1608, Susenyos is formally crowned Emperor of Ethiopia. 1644, the Third Anglo-Powhatan War begins in the colony of Virginia. 1673, English Lord John Berkeley sold his half of New Jersey to the Quakers. 1741, New York Governor George Clark's complex at Fort George is burned in an arson attack, which started the New York Conspiracy of 1741. Now, for those who are not familiar with it, the Conspiracy of 1741, also known as the Slave Insurrection of 1741, was a purported plot by slaves and poor whites in the British colony of New York to revolt and lay a series of fires. Now, historians actually disagree as to whether there really was a plot, and if there was one, how big it was. During the court cases, prosecution kept changing the grounds of accusation, ending with linking the insurrection to a popish plot by Spaniards and other Catholics. I mean, you can't trust those Spaniards and other Catholics. 1766, American Revolution, British Parliament repeals the Stamp Act. Stamp Act required a stamp to be gotten for any transaction at a considerable cost. 1793, the first modern republic in Germany, the Republic of Mainz, is declared by Andreas Joseph Hoffmann. 1793, Flanders campaign of the French Revolution, the Battle of Neerwinden, took place on this date. 1834, six farm laborers from Talpoodle, Dorset, England, are sentenced to be transported to Australia. And what was their crime? They formed a trade union. Can't have that. 1848, the premiere of Fry's Leonora in Philadelphia is the first known performance of a grand opera by an American composer. 1848, the March Revolution. In Berlin, there's a struggle between citizens and the military. A Over 300 die. 1865, American Civil War. Congress of the Confederate States adjourns for the last time. Everybody had to go hide. 1871. Declaration of the Paris Commune. President of the French Republic, Adolphe Thiers, orders the evacuation of Paris. 1874, the Hawaiian Kingdom signs a treaty with the U.S. granting exclusive trade rights. 1898, Phoebe, a satellite of Saturn, becomes first to be discovered with photographs taken in August of 1898 that were taken by William Henry Pickering. 1902, Macario Sakai issues Presidential Order No. 1 of his Tagalog Republic. That was in the Philippines, don't you know? 1913, King George I of Greece is assassinated in the recently liberated city of Thessalonica. 1915, World War I, during the Battle of Gallipoli, three battleships were sunk during a failed British and French naval attack on the Dardanelles. 1921, a second peace of Riga is signed between Poland and the Soviet Union. 1921, the Kronstadt Rebellion suppressed by the Red Army. The Kronstadt Rebellion was a 1921 insurrection of Soviet sailors, soldiers, and civilians against the Bolshevik government in the port city of Kronstadt. Located on Kotlin Island in the Gulf of Finland, Kronstadt defended the former capital city Petrograd as the base of the Baltic Fleet. For 16 days in March of 1921, rebels in Kronstadt's naval fortress rose in opposition to the Soviet government they had helped to consolidate. Led by Stepan Petrushenko, it was the last major revolt against the Bolshevik regime on Russian territory during the Russian Civil War. Sometimes you have to be careful about what you wish for. You might get it. 1922 in India, Mohandas Gandhi is sentenced to 6 years in prison for civil disobedience. He serves two before he's released. 1925, tri-state tornado hits the Midwestern states of Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana. Kills 695 people. 1937, the New London School explosion in New London, Texas kills 300, mostly children. 1937, Spanish Civil War. Spanish Republican forces defeat the Italians at the Battle of Guadalajara. 1938, Mexico creates Pemex by expropriating all foreign-owned oil reserves and facilities. 1940, World War II. Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini meet at the Brenner Pass in the Alps and agree to form an alliance against France and the UK. 1942, the Water Relocation Authorities established in the U.S. take Japanese Americans into custody. 1944, Mount Vesuvius in Italy erupts, kills 26, causes thousands to flee, and destroys dozens of Allied bombers. 1948, Soviet consultants leave Yugoslavia in the first sign of the Tito-Stalin split. 1953, an earthquake hits western Turkey, kills 265. 1959, the Hawaii Admission Act is signed into law. Now, it is formally known as an act to provide for the admission of the state of Hawaii into the Union. It was a statute enacted by the Congress and signed into law by President Eisenhower, which dissolved the territory of Hawaii and established the state of Hawaii as the 50th state to be admitted into the Union. It's still the most recent state to be admitted. 1962, the Evian Accords end the Algerian War of Independence, which began in 1954. 1965, cosmonaut Alexei Leonov, leaving his spacecraft, Voskhod 2, for 12 minutes, becomes the first person to walk in space that we know of. 1966, United Arab Airlines Flight 749 crashes on approach to Cairo International Airport in Cairo, kills 30. 1967, the supertanker Torrey Canyon runs aground off the Cornish coast. 1968, the gold standard. Congress repeals the requirement for a gold reserve to back U.S. currency. That means they could inflate the amount of currency in circulation as far as they want to. And our money is fiat money anyway. It's money because the Congress says it is. 1969, U.S. began secretly bombing the Sihanouk Trail in Cambodia used by communist forces to infiltrate South Vietnam. 1970, Lon Nol oust Prince Norodom Sihanouk of Cambodia. 1971, in Peru, a landslide crashes into Yanawayan Lake, kills 200 people at the mining camp of Chungar. 1980, a Vostok 2M rocket at Plesetsk Cosmodrome, Site 43, explodes during a fueling operation. 48 people are killed. 1990, Germans in the German Democratic Republic vote in the first democratic elections in the former communist dictatorship. 1990, in the largest art theft in U.S. history, 12 paintings, collectively worth about $500 million, are stolen from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston. 1994, Bosniaks and Croats signed the Washington Agreement ending the war between the Croatian Republic of Herzeg Bosnia and the Republic of Bosnia and Herzegovina and establishing the Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina. 1996, there's a nightclub fire in Quezon City in the Philippines, kills 162. 1997, the tail of a Russian Antonov An-24 charter plane breaks off while en route to Turkey. Causes the plane to crash and kills all 50 people on board. 2014, the parliaments of Russia and Crimea sign an accession treaty. Now, an accession treaty I just had it. What happened to it? Basically, that was a treaty that allowed for the annexation of Crimea by the Russian Federation. In 2015, the Bardo National Museum in Tunisia is attacked by gunmen. 23 people, almost all tourists, are killed, and at least 50 other folks are wounded. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances, anniversary of the oil expropriation in Mexico, Christian Feast Day, Alexander Jerusalem, Anselm of Lucca, Cyril of Jerusalem, Edward the Martyr, Fridianus, Salvatore, and Aruba, it's Flag Day, Galapagos Memorial Day in Turkey, Men's and Soldiers Day in Mongolia, National Day of Remembrance of COVID-19 victims in Italy, Ordnance Factories Day in India, Sheila's Day in Ireland, Canada, and Australia. And in Syria, it is Teacher's Day. Let's see what else we got. In 1123, the First Lateran Council, that's the Ninth Ecumenical Council, opens in Rome. Agreements of the Concordat of Worms are ratified. 1325, according to a legend, Tenochtitlan is founded on this date on an island in what was then Lake Texcoco in the Valley of Mexico. 1890, German Chancellor Otto von Bismarck resigns after 19 years due to an agreement with German Emperor Wilhelm II. 1900, Japan uses its influence over Korea to deny Russia's efforts to obtain a naval station at the Korean port of Masampo. This leads to the Russo-Japanese War that happened shortly after. All right. Now we got some other things. I know I was just looking at it. What happened to it? There it is. In 417, Saint Zosimus begins his reign as Catholic Pope. In 731, Saint Gregory III begins his reign as Catholic Pope. In 978, Edward the Martyr, the teenage king of England, is murdered. It was probably arranged by his stepmother, Queen Ethelred, by Corfe Castle. 1167, the Battle of Al Babin in Egypt. Franks under Amalric versus the Syrians. 1184 was the Battle of Ichi no Tani near Kobe, Japan. 1190, Crusaders kill 57 Jews and bury St. Edmunds in England. 1438, Albrecht II of Habsburg becomes King of Germany. 1509, Emperor Maximilian I names Margaretha Land Guardian of the Netherlands. 1532, English Parliament bans payments by English churches to Rome. 1582, Prince William of Orange is injured in an attack at Antwerp. 1662, the first public birth service begins, promoted by Blaise Pascal. Operates in Paris as the Carrosses à Cinq Sous until 1675. 1781, Charles Messier rediscovers global cluster M92. 1793, in the Second Battle of Neerwinden, Austria army beats France. 1813, David Melville from Newport, Rhode Island, patents an apparatus for making coal gas. 1818, Congress approves the first pensions for government service. 1834, the first railroad tunnel in the U.S. is completed. It's in Pennsylvania. It's 275 meters long. 1847, the first Dutch public telegram was sent on this date. 1850, Henry Wells and William Fargo formed the American Express in Buffalo. 1858, Dutch van der Bruggen government resigns. 1859, Veracruz is besieged by Miramon in the Mexican War of Reform. 1865, the Battle of Wilson's Raid to Selma, Alabama. 1870, the first U.S. National Wildlife Preserve, Lake Merritt in Oklahoma, and excuse me, Oakland, California, is established. 1877, President Rutherford B. Hayes appoints Frederick Douglass Marshal of Washington, D.C. Frederick Douglass was a well-known abolitionist. 1878, the city of Anaheim in California incorporates for the second time. 1881, the Barnum and Bailey Circus, traveling as the greatest show on earth, debuts in Madison Square Garden in New York City. That was after the merger of the two existing circus groups, because P.T. Barnum had his own show and James Anthony Bailey had his show. 1882, Morgan Earp is assassinated by outlaws while playing billiards in Tombstone. 1890, the first U.S. state naval militia is organized in Massachusetts. 1891, Britain is linked to the continent by telephone. 1892, Lord Stanley presents a silver challenge cup for the game of hockey. You may have heard of it as the Stanley Cup. 1895, 200 African Americans leave Savannah, Georgia for Liberia. 1902, Italian operatic tenor Enrico Caruso becomes the first well-known performer to make a record. 1902, Turkey grants a German syndicate the first concession to construct a railroad through Turkish territory to Baghdad to be linked with Berlin. 1903, following through on its attacks on Roman Catholic institution, the French government dissolves the Catholic religious orders. 1909, Einar Dessau of Denmark makes the first ham broadcast. Ham radio, don't you know? 1909, Russia and Bulgaria reach an agreement in which the late 19th century Russian financial claims are canceled to meet compensation due to Turkey from Bulgaria. 1911, North Dakota enacts a hail insurance law. 1914, the White Wolf Gang beats the government army in Jingdezhen, China. 1915, the French battleship Bouvet explodes. 640 people are killed. 1919, the Order of Demolay forms in Kansas City. 1921, the steamer Hong Kong runs aground off Swatow, China. 1,000 people die. 1922, the first public celebration of a bat mitzvah, as opposed to a bar mitzvah. This was done for the daughter of Rabbi Mordecai Kaplan in New York City. 1925, 8 60-mile-per-hour tornadoes go through Missouri, Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky, and Tennessee, kill 689 people. And in 1931, a day that men will long remember, the first electric shavers went on sale in the U.S., made by Schick. Well, we've been talking about evidence of time travel. And apparently there's far more evidence than you might guess. Now we've also discovered there is evidence of a nuclear attack that took place in the midst of history. The Lonar Crater near Bombay, India. Now, it's a large crater. It's about 248 miles from the city of Bombay. Dating indicates the crater to be no older than 50,000 years. It's approximately 7,067 feet across. And although there isn't any sign of asteroid or meteor fragments or any other type of debris at the site, the crater underwent a very high and sudden blast of temperature. Tiny spears of glass formed from native basalt indicate this. If it wasn't a meteor or an asteroid hitting the Earth, what could have caused such an explosion in craters so long ago? There's no sign of volcanic activity anywhere in the area. This leaves only one apparent option: a thermonuclear blast or some other such similar but unknown weapon caused the crater. Since absolutely nobody in that time period was supposedly capable, even though remotely, doing such a thing in any way, then it leaves only extraterrestrial or time travel influence as a possible source of the blast. Now, by sheer chance and bad luck, one would expect some of the extraterrestrials to have died in such a momentous calamity. We should be able to find their skeletal remains. So far, none has been found, although the skeletons of humans have been discovered often enough in that area. And since humans of the time, according to all historians and archaeologists, didn't and couldn't have had such technological capabilities, we have to conclude that humans of some other time did. Simplest explanation, given all the possible ones, is time travelers, although extraterrestrials come in a close second in this particular instance. Now, radioactive skeletons, since we were talking about skeletons a moment ago, seem to be a hallmark of areas that have undergone vitrification. In Mohenjo-Daro, where pottery shards, some walls, even foundations are vitrified, skeletons were found dating from the same period, and they often had considerably higher than normal levels of radioactivity. Sometimes this was as much as 10 to 50 times the normal level expected under such circumstances based on human remains found elsewhere in the world from that period. So this lends credence to the idea of a nuclear disaster. The fact that radiation being present, that's a dead giveaway. Many of the skeletons found appeared to have been struck down in an instant mid-flight, so to speak. Many such remains were found in the streets holding hands as if people were fleeing some event. Explorer H.J. Hamilton even claimed to have discovered a vitrified, melted skeleton in the mountains inside vitrified ruins. And again, volcanic activity simply couldn't account for this. Mohenjo-Daro seems to have been an actual center for a blast, an area where stone was crystallized. Further away, just one side of bricks was vitrified, the side facing the blast, and that's just what you would expect in a thermonuclear explosion. Now, as an interesting side note, archaeologists have found the lowest layers of the city to have higher levels of sophistication, technologically speaking, than the later ones. And this would seem to be contrary to a normal civilization's development. For instance, in the lowest and therefore the earliest period of the city, glazed pottery was used. Later on, just standard, badly formed clay pots took their place. Soapstone seals were replaced by clay ones as well. Would appear these cities, forming the major part of the Indus River Valley civilization with a combined population of about 1 million people, have become a retrograde culture. Amazingly, at the time of their creation, they were at their peak technologically and slowly declined over the successive years. Now, in archaeologists, this is usually not the case at all. Civilizations tend to progress over time in their development, not worsen. This would seem to indicate that something went terribly wrong with these civilizations. Their best times ended when something that seems strikingly similar to a nuclear war took place. Now, no historian or current-day archaeologist would dream of such a thing being possible given the facts their digs show not even the remotely such capabilities on the part of such peoples in those times. So you have to ask yourself, who was using nukes? Not the locals. The natives, then it had to be somebody else. That goes without saying. When we invoke the principle of Occam's razor, we're left with only two real possible explanations. Either it was extraterrestrials, and again, no proven skeletal remains of these extraterrestrials have been found at all, let alone near such sites. Only human remains have been found. Or time travelers, who could well have been and probably were human. This would explain the complete lack of alien remains. Therefore, going with the simplest explanation and the most comprehensive one, we have to choose human time travelers as being the culprits. Occam's razor says, for example, if you hear the sound of hoofbeats, picture horses, not zebras. The most likely explanation is usually the explanation. Now let's talk about the radioactive ash of Rajasthan area of India. Now, this odd area has a thick layer of radioactive ash. It also is known for having unusually high rate of birth defects. Cancers are also occurring in this area at a higher rate than normal. And the layer of ash, some 10 square miles in area, is in Rajasthan. Apparently, during the construction of a housing project, the ash layer was discovered in excavations. Researchers wonder if a link can be drawn between the radioactive layer and the health problems associated with the people living there. Again, we're confronted with a radioactivity at a far higher level than normal, and in regions where there's no significant natural concentrations of uranium or such type of radioactive material to cause this, let alone a deposit of radioactive ash. So where does this ash layer come from? The answer would seem to be the same. Somebody was detonating nuclear devices in India and around the world eons ago. The options as to who could have done this are limited to either extraterrestrials or time travelers or both. How about alien time travelers? Because judging by all the available archaeological evidence, the native population of Earth at the time certainly didn't have this capability. Or was there a time travel war going on, perhaps? Were events being altered enormously for some reason using nuclear devastation? Well, the alien or human, somebody had the power to accomplish this feat. Now, since we have the same problem here in that we can't find any archaeological evidence of alien remains or artifacts, we have to assume the perpetrators were humans, simply by default. And if this is the case, since they couldn't possibly be contemporaries at the time, they had to come from some other time. I mean, that's simple logic. And of course, if alien remains or artifacts are ever found in these locations, this would change the outcome of our deductions. But until such are found, we can only go with the simplest explanation according to the principle of Occam's razor. That is, that human time travelers must somehow be involved. Seems to be a recurring theme, but unfortunately, we don't have an option. How about other ancient anomalies out of time and place? You know, Michio Kaku, an author and did a story for Wired magazine in August 2003. He said, once confined to fantasy and science fiction, time travel is now simply an engineering problem. And more scientists are coming around to that way of thinking. Now, prospectors looking for gold along the Narada River in the Urals in Russia made some interesting discovered tiny spiral-shaped bits of metal, almost certainly machined objects. They range from 1.5 inches down to the fantastically tiny size of 0.03 of a millimeter, or the equivalent of 0.01 of an inch. And an incredible number of these things were discovered. The early 1990s marked the first discoveries. However, they continue to this day. These enigmatic objects have been found at various sites, including not only along the Narada River, but also along the Kazakh, as well as the Balbanu, and also near several adjacent streams. And most of the items are found in a depth of between 10 and 40 feet. Now, the strange thing about these tiny bits of spiral metal is that they aren't all made of one type of metal. Some of them, the bigger spirals, are composed of copper. The smaller ones are often composed of molybdenum or even tungsten. Tungsten requires 4,740 degrees Fahrenheit to melt, and this is why it's popular metal for incandescent bulbs. It's a very high melting point, means a long lifespan for the bulbs. Also means whoever fabricated these objects must have had a truly remarkable technology in order to do so. A forge of some type that could provide such intense heat. And forges like this didn't come into being until much closer to our own time. Much later on into recent recorded history. Tests for the age show the spirals could be anywhere from 20,000 to 318,000 years old, based on various factors, such as where they were found and at what depths. Even 20,000 years ago, let alone 318,000 years ago, who could machine such microfine materials or have a forge in which to heat the metals to such an incredible degree? let alone have the capability of mining the metals themselves. And not all these metals are native to the areas where they were found. Then we have the most interesting question of all. What were they used for and why? Seems unlikely any people of that period would have such capability or a need for such things. According to archaeologists the world over, they certainly didn't. But these things are found in a number up into the thousands. This is far too great a number for somebody to have hoaxed, and the work, the effort involved, and the technical expertise to create such a hoax would have been enormous. And how would they profit? Very minor footnote and a few hardly noticed reports is certainly not enough profit to give a return on your investment. Again, this would seem to be a strong bit of evidence for time travel, since the objects were so far out of place in the time of their origin and to such odd anachronisms. They just couldn't be there in any normal circumstances. So the recurring theme of time travel intrusion persists. Then we have a most unusual discovery. It's known as the Kinguti object, which has all the obvious characteristics being a rusted iron nail. This item was discovered embedded in a sandstone chunk of rock in a quarry back in 1844. And the location of the discovery was near the town of Kinguti in Scotland, so that's why it's called the Kinguti object. Seems a little doubt the nail was actually embedded in the stone, because it was only discovered during the abrading of the sandstone block in order to remove the hardened layer of clay from it. Approximately 1/2 inch of the object was embedded in the clay and the remainder in the stone itself. Now, to be embedded naturally in the sandstone, the object had to have been millions of years old. So you have to ask yourself how it got there. Even if it's not a nail, what was a piece of what was obviously pure iron doing in a block of sandstone? Such things don't form there under natural conditions, and certainly not in the shape of a nail. So where did it come from and why is it there? Again, this is long, long before even the earliest ancestors of human walked the planet. So certainly we or our remotest predecessors didn't make it. This object is truly a strange object found in an even stranger place, and the only answer would seem somebody put it there so long ago or lost it somehow back then. Using Occam's razor, once again, we would seem to have yet another bit of time travel evidence. Then we have an interesting stone slab found in the Ural Mountains, found by Alexander Shuvarov. He was a professor at Bashkir State University. He was intent, along with a postgraduate aide, on proving ancient Chinese had migrated into the region in question. Now, he heard rumors about stones with which he hoped would be early Chinese inscriptions, so he explored the area and didn't find anything. Almost by accident, an inhabitant in the area, on hearing about his search, mentioned there was one such stone. And to his delight, he was able to examine that block. At about 1 ton in weight, the stone was composed of 3 distinct layers and appears to depict in 3-dimensional dimensions an area of the Ural Mountains as it would appear from high in the sky. Topmost and third layers of porcelain calcium. Whether by accident or design, this hard layer makes for a superb protection of the lower engraved layer. The first and thickest layer, 5.5 inches thick, is composed of dolomite. The third layer, the one sandwiched between the other two, is the layer that actually has the engraved map on it. And estimations of the map's age range widely, but absolutely none is more recent than 3,000 years ago. Now, nobody, even in 3,000 years ago, was anywhere near capable of creating such a work as this. And the vast majority of estimates place the age of the map had been closer to 120 million years old. And many researchers have come to the conclusion the map does actually represent the Bashkira region of the Ural Mountains, since it's changed a little over that extended time period. Area still closely resembles the features of Daska stone, or as it's often referred to, map of the creator. Strange hieroglyphic-like markings, first thought to be in very old form of Chinese, have proven to be indecipherable except for one character, which appears to indicate longitude. But the mystery gets even better. Besides showing the Ufa Fault, the map also depicts the natural drainage features of the area, including several rivers, among them the Ufemka and the Statoka rivers. And what's more, the map also shows a tremendous system of irrigation, when it includes, but not limited to, 12 dams and two distinct channeling systems. They depict dams that are so tremendous in size, they, along with the channels, are said to have required the moving of over a quadrillion tons of earth. And many researchers believe that map is just a partial one, a fragment of a much, much larger and complete one of the whole earth. In Wisconsin, the Center of Historical Maps state that such a map must have been created by someone with the vantage point of a very high aerial view of the topography. And the method of creating the map itself is still a mystery. It would seem to be beyond even our current capabilities, and again, could only have been created with the aid of a very high aerial vantage point. How about a satellite? So we have a case involving somebody making some major landscaping of the planet, a project that borders on terraforming, and in a time, according to the most dating estimates, humans didn't even exist. Could it have been a time travel colony? Or should we think it's extraterrestrials who did this? And if it is, again, why don't we have any physical evidence of their remains in this region or any others for that matter? Surely some of the aliens had to die, even if only by accident. Yet, no such evidence has been found to date, and only human remains have been recovered from the sites. No alien artifacts have been found either, unless one believes that Daska Stone is such evidence in and of itself. And one that doesn't move a quadrillion tons of earth, reroute rivers, create channels, and extensive irrigation systems, unless one plans to heavily occupy a region. Such a water system is to support an extensive population and its agricultural base. In addition, why would such an advanced group use stone to create their maps? Well, this one answer to this question is could just be a matter of cultural differences. The Egyptians, for example, built to last and used stone. There was once a worldwide megalithic culture. We've confirmed that, and that stone was used all over the world for building solid, reliable structures. A lot of them still exist today, even after thousands of years. And the list of these is numerous. Just as an example, there are the stones of Karnak in France, Stonehenge in England. In fact, there are many Stonehenges in the UK, and the pyramids of Egypt, the Sphinx. The list of such structures, if it's not considered endless, is a very long one. So whoever was doing all this dam building and irrigation improvements, even apparently diverting an entire river that's still diverted today, may simply like to build items at last. And if you're time travelers, that becomes even more important. If you weren't restricted to one time, then having their structures last for a very long time would be a valuable thing to have. Culture of time travelers that spans the ages would want their buildings and structures to do the same. Now, given this principle, when we apply the principles of Occam's razor, the answer once more seems to be time travelers. It alone reasonably accounts for the lack of any alien evidence at or near the site, either in the form of artifacts or remains. It answers all the fundamental questions concerning Daska Stone in the simplest, most straightforward way. Other explanations, such as a vast, technologically worldwide civilization such as Atlantis, are possible answers, but they aren't the simplest. So, going by the principle of Occam's razor, we have to set them to the side. Then, you know, in a Nova interview, Carl Sagan said in 1999, talking about time travel, "I have no idea whether it's possible, but it's certainly worth exploring." Could time travelers have changed history? You know, up to this point in time, we've talked about cases of solid evidence of anomalous items, such as objects found in places discovered buried in rock and embedded deep in mines, or lying undisturbed beneath layers of earth until they're discovered. And we found them where they have no right to be, if the normal flow of history, as historians and archaeologists alike insist, is at all correct. And many of these items date back millions of years, sometimes hundreds of millions, before humans, and in some cases, even their mammalian forebears existed, if we're to believe in the basic principles of geology and the rock layers in which these items are entrenched and found. So there's no question that it was humanity of the times that created these things. Well, they didn't. Humanity simply didn't exist so far long ago, and many of the instances that I've talked about had to have been someone else. And using the principle of Occam's razor that we keep referring to, the most likely someone is human time travelers. We've also cited strange objects found a mere hundreds of thousands of years ago when humanity did exist, but not in their present form, meaning with today's civilization or technological levels, of course. And even those items simply can't belong where they were discovered for this very reason. Not unless our idea about the first proto-humans and their capabilities are incredibly off-base. And this is unlikely because, other than finding these anomalies, there's no evidence to support the belief. Worldwide, 300,000 years ago, for example, our human ancestors simply did not create maps of massive irrigation projects, let alone these projects themselves. They didn't forge rare metals into micro-sized spirals, nor did they have anything like the capability of even doing so if they had wanted to do it. But, you know, the list that we have compiled is just a partial list of incredible objects found from these times. And again, since we probably can safely assume extraterrestrials aren't using ladles and pots and nails and screws and handbells and thimbles and other things along those lines, these things seem to be peculiarly human in nature. So how do you account for them? Well, it would appear humans did use these items. And if humans used them, they aren't native to such incredibly long ago times, and we have to account for it all somehow. Using very basic reasoning, time travel would seem the only possible answer. And just as humans don't naturally belong on the moon or at the bottom of the sea and so have to travel to get there, so too would humans have had to travel to these distant times so deep and remote in Earth's past, since they certainly didn't belong there. And given the evidence to date, time travel seems the only conclusion. So, let's move on to relatively more recent times. In fact, let's go to the beginning of recorded history. We'll consider items discovered don't seem to belong in that period as well. When you get to looking at some of these things, you have to wonder about the capabilities of the people that made them. Let's start out talking about the saguaro bird. First discovered in 1898, it's a half-foot-long wooden model discovered in a tomb near Saqqara in Egypt. The tomb itself was built about 200 B.C. Variously said to be a bird or some type of flying insect, it really doesn't look like any of these, except maybe superficially. What it does look like is a plane, or maybe even a space shuttle. When a larger model of it was built to test this theory, it flew without problems. And moreover, no bird or insect has the type of tail the Saqqara bird has, so something crafted this model to reflect something real. And it simply wouldn't have had such a glaring error added to it. Where birds have flat horizontal tails, the saguaro bird has an airplane-like wings and a tail with a fixed rudder. Again, no bird or insect in the world that we know about has a fixed rudder. Hidden away in a museum's archives for decades, the saguaro bird finally became known once more. It was then that Dr. Khalil Masiha explored its aerodynamic capabilities. So again, we've got another strange object found in a strange place, discovered to have existed in a time it didn't belong. And the saguaro bird is certainly no hoax. It does appear to be unique. No others like it have been discovered anywhere else in Egypt. So this, just who made this seemingly very modern model of a glider or a plane? And who, so many thousands of years ago, had such precise knowledge of modern aerodynamics that larger versions of the bird actually fly very well? Remember, not even Leonardo da Vinci made such a successful flying model, though he certainly tried. And how can anybody begin to contemplate or argue the thing is a representation of a bird or insect when it has a fixed rudder, which no living flying creature has, or ever had, as far as we know? If such were the case, why wouldn't more attention have been paid to the detail of the type of bird or insect portrayed? Certainly more attention was given to the aerodynamic detail. So we've got an unaccountable object existing at a time and place where it simply shouldn't be, portraying a technology archaeologists insist could not have existed at that time. Of course, ancient alien theorists proclaim the bird as evidence of alien visitation. But given the mundane nature of the object and its representation of a glider or some type of airplane and not looking at all like a flying disc or anything like a flying triangle, the idea that it's of extraterrestrial origin just doesn't really hold water. The bird just looks too human in design in its representation of a human design plane or space shuttle. I mean, when constant reports of UFOs seldom, if ever, describe flying vehicles with wings. So, this wasn't based on a craft seen in the skies at the time, but one from the future rather than space. Alien spacecraft don't seem to use wings, but humans do. Given the evidence, applying our much-used principle of Occam's razor, one used by scientists the world over, this will seem to be the more likely of the several possible answers. The object does represent a flying machine and is clearly not a bird or an insect. The design resembles our modern flying machines and not something from outer space. And judging by UFO reports in their thousands, aliens don't use fixed-wing aircraft. But you can't argue the bird doesn't exist, and something like it couldn't have been built to fly in that time. If somebody made it up out of their imagination, it boggles the mind that it flies so perfectly. Finally, it seems to be unique. No other likeness of the bird has been found in Egypt, so whatever it was a replica of wasn't really a common sight. Therefore, we have to conclude the Saqqara bird was a model of a vehicle used by time travelers and that such things were seen rarely, just as would be the case if time travelers were doing a survey of the area by flight and did not have a permanent base in the region. And then we come to one of my favorite anomalies. Discovered in 1929, the map that became known as the Pee Wee Reese map is authentic. Nobody seriously argues it's a hoax. A Turkish admiral of some renown, Pee Wee Reese, created the map. That's where the name came from. And even the date of the creation of the map is known, 1513 A.D. It's said to have been drawn in part from earlier maps, some perhaps dating to before 300 B.C. However, there is a strange problem. The map shows the Atlantic coast of Africa and South America, as well as parts of the coastline of Antarctica, but as it would be if it were ice-free. Modern radar methods have shown the Pee Wee Reese map is geographically accurate in this regard. However, how could anybody in early recorded history have drawn the map when the last time this area of Antarctica would have been possibly been free of ice was over 6,000 years ago? So we got another strange object in the wrong time. Could it be from an antediluvian civilization? Possibly, although we have no real evidence of this. A seafaring civilization spanning the globe. That brings up images of Atlantis again. They'd be capable of making such maps in such detail. Would certainly have left a whole layer of artifacts behind if in fact they existed, and they should have been scattered around the world, just as you might find Coke bottles in Mexico and Morocco. Despite some contentions that this is the case, similarities in cultures are pointed to. These similarities would seem largely superficial. For example, although the Mayans built pyramids, these came well after the Egyptian pyramids were hardly contemporary, also built quite differently. And the languages spoken and written had nothing in common. Neither did the cultures, the pantheon of gods, or anything along those lines. Therefore, it would seem unlikely, at least less likely, and given the current available evidence, or lack of it, that Atlantis is the source of the Pee Wee Reese map. The map seems to come from a time when maps simply weren't made yet and didn't exist, let alone to be able to depict the Earth as it was between the Ice Ages. This leaves only extraterrestrials as an explanation or that the source of the map are copies of a map brought by a time traveler. Now, there's no reason to believe extraterrestrials weren't time travelers as well. However, if it was aliens, then the evidence found in the forms of objects seemed to indicate they've been here on Earth consistently for millions, if not billions, of years, which would seem to be unlikely. Appear far more likely they've traveled from different times, but not resided in them continuously. And finally, we again question whether aliens, even with such capabilities, will leave very human-looking artifacts such as ladles and nails and pots and vases and in such various times, but nothing else of a truly alien nature. No, the simpler explanation is human time travelers, and though we can't completely rule out alien time travelers. Now, let's talk about the Bochet map. Just like the Pelee Reese map, the Bochet map depicts an ice-free Antarctica. Published by Philippe Bochet in 1737, this map is supposedly a compilation of a number of earlier maps. Again, we see Antarctica on it, and before anybody knew of its existence, let alone had mapped it, but the Bochet map is an accurate depiction. Oddly enough, it also has the Canary Islands shown in their correct locations. And incredibly, denotes the underwater plateau on which they are situated. Now, this couldn't have been known without modern-day technology, or unless the map was made before the end of the last ice age, when the world's sea levels were considerably lower. And furthermore, the Bochet map even depicts a water course in Antarctica that wasn't known to us until 1958. And since many scientists believe the current ice caps have been at the poles for millions of years, how is such a map even possible? Who was mapping the Earth so long ago? And again, it wasn't the primitive precursors to our ancestors. It simply couldn't have been given what we know. So once more, we have something very strange going on, something we can't account for unless it was either A, an advanced civilization before the human race came along, B, aliens had decided they needed to do a map of the Earth back then, or C, maybe a time travel exploration group. The last one seems more likely, according to the principle of Occam's razor. And it also seems more likely by sheer logical deduction. We don't have evidence for an advanced civilization existing on Earth at that time. No vehicles have been dug up, no skyscrapers, no advanced architecture. Visiting aliens would hardly hand over such types of maps to humans to copy. So that leaves just the third option, human time travel. Now we're going to talk about more unbelievable maps and artifacts in our next show. But for now, we're running out of time. So until tomorrow at the same time, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.